Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I am Tim Wildman, and Walker Wildman is here. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Dr. Ray Pritchard from Kansas City, Kansas. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing good, Tim.
And Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family Radio.
Yes, sir. We're on a busy day.
Busy, busy day. Walker, folks want to keep up with us on social media platforms. What do they need to do?
Yeah, a couple different ways to keep up with the show. The first way you can do that is to visit our Facebook page and watch the show on Facebook, Facebook Live. You can also catch the news articles that I'll post there. Another way to watch the show is on YouTube, Today's Issues on YouTube. And lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your mobile device or your tablet, and you can listen anytime, anywhere, so long as you have an internet connection.
All right, Fred, what's going on?
Well, I guess Americans who have a TV close by are likely watching.
You're saying our listenership's down?
Could be today. They are predicting this will be one of the most watched portions of television ever. What we're talking about is a hearing before the Senate Judicial Committee today. This is the day they've been talking about when a woman who has accused Judge Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her 36 years ago is getting her chance to go before this committee and the nation to tell her story of an event she says occurred 36 years ago. They were in high school together, and she basically says that Brett Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her.
Well, he tried to take her bathing suit off, right?
Right.
And was trying to...
At a party.
At a party.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what
let me play just a little bit of the testimony we've heard already, and we'll come back.
During my time at the school, girls at Holton Arms frequently met and became friendly with boys from all boys' schools in the area, including the Landon School, Georgetown Prep, Gonzaga High School, as well as our country clubs and other places where kids and families socialized. This is how I met Brett Kavanaugh, the boy who sexually assaulted me.
Yeah, she's under oath now, and she's now made that claim. And she goes through, and I think we've been reporting on her allegation now. She says at a party, Brett Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge forced open a door, forced her onto a bed, and basically sexually assaulted her. That's her story. The theater that's occurring right now is what we expected. Very shaky voice. She tried to explain why she hasn't told anybody this for 36 years. She was embarrassed that her parents would find out that she used to go to drunken parties, so she didn't want that to be known. She said she has talked about it with her therapist over the years. Her allegation, the incident that she says occurred. And then she has explained that she felt an obligation that, this man was about to get appointed to the United States Supreme Court, and she felt an obligation to suddenly speak up.
Okay. When is he going to have his chance?
After many questions from Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Republicans have elected to have a trained prosecutor in sexual assault cases. Her name is Rachel Mitchell. She is asking the questions for the Republicans.
Walker, you've been watching this.
Yeah, I watched the first hour of it this morning before the show, and this is a train wreck. If you're not a Democrat, for everyone else, it's a train wreck, because here's the deal. I don't believe there's going to be any evidence one way or the other that this did or didn't happen, which leaves us at the end of today basing our opinion on which testimony is most believable in our opinion, which is a wholly subjective standard. And so that leaves the senators in Washington and us basing our conclusions mm-hmm. and our opinions based on hearsay.
Our feelings.
And our feelings and our gut instincts as to which person testifying is telling the truth. And so that's wholly subjective, and we're about to either ruin a man's life or put him on the Supreme Court based wholly on feelings and subjective information. And so I think we shouldn't even be here now. We shouldn't even be having a hearing if you don't have any more evidence than Dr. Ford does.
Right.
Well, in the end, it's exactly what Walker said. There's no corroboration, and everybody that she's named who has spoken up has said either, I wasn't there, it didn't happen, I have no knowledge of this. So it unfortunately comes down to a he said, she said. And in today's climate, I mean, I think she is, if I say she's believable, I just think that for her to get on TV, that's a compelling kind of testimony. The pressure now is going to shift in a few minutes, a little bit later today, to Brett Kavanaugh. He will need to be forceful as he was with the Martha McCallum interview in saying, I didn't do it, I wasn't there.
What if he did do it, right? When he was 17 years ago, he tried to force himself on this woman. There was no claim of rape, no police report. And what if he did do it? Should that disqualify him 37, 36 years later after a
I don't think you can answer that question without also saying, you've posited a question that's really impossible to answer because he said he didn't.
Yes, I agree. I understand that. You're right. It's a hypothetical. My point is,
if something happened back then, something legitimately happened, and he is not telling the truth about it now, then he cannot go on the Supreme Court.
If he's lying, right?
Okay, I would agree.
I
would agree with that. I would agree with that. But I mean,
this just shows the impossibility of getting to the truth of the situation.
Right.
Here's the problem with what the Republicans are allowing to happen this morning.
Yeah.
There is the natural emotional sympathy.
Woman wins.
She is weeping.
Yes.
Very shaky voice.
Yeah.
I'm told there are people in the crowd that have been tweeting already that they're weeping.
Right.
Those sitting behind her. We knew this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so as far as people assessing, they are going to have a sympathy for a woman who claims that mm-hmm. she was attacked and kept it a secret for 36 years.
Here is what you're not going to hear anywhere else. You may hear it on Fox News, but that's it. Is that two men within the last few days, two men have come forward to the Senate Judiciary Committee and said, actually, we were the ones that assaulted Dr. Ford.
Yeah.
It was not Brett Kavanaugh. It was us.
Yeah.
We did it. Mm-hmm. And she's mistaken in who she thinks assaulted her back in 1982.
It's a case of mistaken identity.
If that's the case, then Dr. Ford has already perjured herself under oath before the U.S. Senate. But the thing is, she will if she has perjured herself, she will never have to answer for it.
To your point, the ranking member for the Democrats, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, just a few moments ago asked Ford, is she certain it was Kavanaugh?
How are you so sure that it was he?
The same way that I'm sure that I'm talking to you right now. It's just basic memory functions also, just the level of norepinephrine and epinephrine in the brain that sort of, as you know, encodes, that neurotransmitter encodes memories into the hippocampus. And so the trauma-related experience then is kind of locked there, whereas other details kind of drift.
So what you are telling us is this could not be a case of mistaken identity.
Absolutely not.
I guess if you're a psychologist, she was talking about chemistry in the brain doesn't allow her to forget who it was.
Yeah.
Well, that's a convenient answer.
Yeah, a convenient answer that, you know what? this, I sound like a broken record, but I'll just say this again. If Judge Kavanaugh's life is over because of this, the standard we've reached in this country is your guilt. If you're a conservative white male in particular, you are guilty of whatever is claimed against you, even if you're not.
Even if there's no evidence.
Even if there's no evidence, you're guilty.
If the allegation is made.
Yes, you're guilty.
You're guilty.
Right.
And not one person has said, yeah, I was, not even one person has said, yeah, I was at that party. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing if you can't find someone that saw the alleged assault, but there's not even one person come forth, and everyone has been under oath. They've given sworn testimony to the Senate, which could be criminal if you're lying.
Yeah.
And they've said, I do not even recall such a party.
Also, what does this do, Ray, to the future? Even if this is over and Monday he's confirmed to the United States Supreme Court, what do you think this kind of thing does to the future of our process, right, in terms of getting people to come and be subject themselves to this?
Oh, I think it'll be all-out war, worse than this. The country is already deeply divided, and I think her testimony today is going to convince the people who are already convinced. I don't think it's going to convince too many people on the other side. It's going to make – what's going to happen, Tim, when we're trying to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg? If you have a – if President Trump is still the president – and we've got to replace her. Can you imagine? I think what happens then will make this look like child's play. It's going to get far worse than this and far more divisive.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker, Ray, and Fred. Ray, go ahead.
To the point that you're making, all of you, Senator Lindsey Graham was on Fox and Friends this morning. What does this do to the reputation of the Senate? The way this is being handled, he was asked that question.
If we abandon Brett Kavanaugh, we should be abandoned by the Republican Party. Liberal Democrats are trying to destroy this man's life. This is an orchestrated campaign. They sit on these accusations to spring them at the last minute. They're falling apart. But I will not sit on the sidelines and watch standards being used that make no sense, that will destroy the confirmation process for those who come forward. You are presumed innocent. You don't have to prove your innocence. You're not assumed guilty. And the accusation itself has to be proved in any court in the land. If that's not the case in the United States Senate, then we become a cheap political body, and that would be a great loss for the country.
Hmm. To your point that you guys have been talking about.
Yeah, again, remember now, the reason I say this, Professor Ford does not have the right to be sitting where she is today, and this is where the Republicans make their mistake, is because of there's no corroboration, there's no police report, and the fact that we had opportunity to hear from her during the official proceedings that took place. Mm. But because Dianne Feinstein decided to hold it to the 11th hour and then drop this bombshell on them, It was a great play. I gotta give it up to her, Dianne Feinstein, to drop this bombshell. You know, as sort of the last card to play. I'll use two metaphors there. So, Ray, I mean, because
we said before, Tim, the other side plays this game better than the Republicans do.
Well, one of the reasons for that is, and I'm not saying the Republicans are always honest, and you know, people can lie. But I'm just saying, Ray, we were talking about this earlier. I would be against this if the Republicans were doing this to a Democrat nominee, all right? Mm-hmm. But the Democrats are not opposed to this if you're doing it to a Republican nominee. So our side fights with one hand tied behind our back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do?
Different. You know, what do you do here? Look, there. You know, it comes down to if it even gets to a vote after today. There are two or three Republicans, Jeff Flake and Murkowski and Collins, and in a sense, Grassley. And this is not excusing anything, but you know, he did what he did because they're trying to hold the line and get the votes they need to confirm Kavanaugh.
Yeah,
who knows what's going to happen after today? But I will say this: Brett Kavanaugh is going to have a chance.
Yes,
he needs to be at least as strong as Clarence Thomas was. yeah. back in his Congress. He needs to be very strong and definite when he makes his statement.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next, Fred.
Well, I want to continue with this because it's really important that people understand. During her opening remarks this morning, Senator Dianne Feinstein, who's the ranking member for the Democrats, the Judicial Committee, said there are now at least three cases against Judge Kavanaugh. And she stated that basically these other cases, including the one brought forward by porn lawyer Avenatti yesterday, introducing us to Julie Swetnick, mm-hmm. who said there were all kinds of rape parties.
Yeah, I think. That she went to.
Listen to what Senator Graham had to say about that story this morning. That's cut one.
She wants me to believe that Brett Kavanaugh, when he was a sophomore, junior, maybe early into his senior year in high school, orchestrated mass rapes, drug women, and she went to not one party where this happened, but 10 parties, never told anybody about it. Why would you go back to the second party if the first experience was women were being drugged and raped? I don't buy this. I don't believe any reasonable person would go to a party where people are being drugged and raped and not tell anybody about it, but keep going for 10 times over a two-year period.
Senator Dianne Feinstein said that was a credible story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A credible right. story.
That's what I mean. Lindsey Graham, had this happened to Sotomayor or Kagan, would say it's not credible, just like he's saying right there, right, right now. But Dianne Feinstein mm-hmm. says it's a credible story. That's what I mean. It's hard to fight when the other side plays dirty. And then you feel like you can't play dirty. I'm not advocating for playing dirty. Don't misunderstand right. me. But you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like playing a game, and the refs are against you. Well, how do you?
Right.
Do you hire your own refs so that yeah. you can? You know what I'm saying?
Just like watch how this hearing with Dr. Ford now is. It seems to be going very civil. Everybody's waiting their turn to speak. Nobody's talking yeah. over each other. You wait till Brett Kavanaugh gets in there this afternoon. Mm-hmm. It is going to be anarchy, chaos, yelling, speaking over each other, protesters in the back, and it's all meant to delay and distract.
Well, you know, there's not one Democrat that's going to vote for
no
for well maybe Manchin, maybe those two or three that are basically states that President Trump won that they're up for re-election. This fall, they may be considering voting for Kavanaugh, but after today, they're going to say, I can't. I got my doubts.
Well, you know, just hang on, everybody.
Okay.
You know what the Bible says? The first person to testify sounds right
okay.
until another comes and questions him. We're in the cross-examination period, and then Brett Kavanaugh gets his chance, and
yeah.
he's going to be, look, she's a sympathetic figure, and it's possible something happened to her back there, but it wasn't Brett Kavanaugh, right? So we've talked about the misplaced memories and false memories and all the rest of that. Folks, let's wait till the end of the day. We'll be in much better shape a few hours from now to make a judgment.
I do think, yes, you're right, Ray. Wisdom there in what you've just said, biblical insights as well. But I can just see these Democrats who might have considered voting for him going, you know, I just got my doubts after hearing the professor, and I just think we need a new start and a fresh candidate, mm-hmm. and doesn't mean that President Trump can't appoint somebody, but we need a new candidate. There's too many doubts here.
Right.
There's too many stories out there.
You know, the Democrats are already.
You see what I'm saying?
They've already been
sure. Yeah.
They've already been delaying all of President Trump's nominees, not just to the federal judiciary system, but also just to the executive branch. Mm-hmm. So I mean, half of these. See, these positions in the federal government are open. There's no boss, nobody in charge. Half of them are Obama holdovers. But the Democrats, to their advantage, they can use this with literally every nominee. They can. All you got to find is one person they went to high school with, accuse them of raping somebody or robbing somebody or robbing a bank, and then we have to have hearings, and this thing gets drug out for weeks and weeks. If I were the Democrats, and you have no moral standard, I would do it with every nominee.
Oh, they will.
I have the statement that Judge Kavanaugh will give this afternoon, and it's what he said all the way along. He categorically denies all of these stories, mm-hmm. every one of them. It was interesting this morning. Kellyanne Conway was on Fox and Friends just wondering about the hypocrisy of the Democrats in all of this, given their history with members of their party who have been accused and in some cases admitted to sexually assaulting people. Cut number five.
I want to focus my comments, if I may, this morning on the judge, jury, and executioners. Those would be the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee, who through over the course of 30 hours of sworn testimony with Judge Kavanaugh already put on such a spectacle and a circus long before we had a conversation, long before the country knew who Christine Blasey Ford is. And these folks, some of whom took campaign donations from Harvey Weinstein, palled around with Bill Cosby, now going to jail for being a sexual predator, for sexually assaulting someone criminally. Some of them, a few of them, I think three of them who are going to be voting today, refused to remove Bill Clinton for office for having sex with an intern right behind me in the Oval Office. So I want everybody to see what this is about to them. This is hyper-partisanship, haughty, hypocritical, hapless Democrats on that Senate Judiciary Committee who the president is absolutely right are here to destroy a man.
I think that point about Bill Clinton, she's standing in front of the White House. She says, right behind me, sexually assaulted
the Democrats,
a kid.
The Democrats rallied behind Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And had a pep rally for him the day he was impeached. They don't care about this kind of thing.
No.
Everybody knew about it inside the New York circles in the industry about Harvey Weinstein. Mm-hmm. He's giving big checks to Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. So Hillary Clinton, the Democrat nominee for president, gets big checks from Harvey Weinstein. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, and is married to a man where there's far more credible evidence of sexual assault against women, mm-hmm. I'm talking about Bill Clinton, than there ever mm-hmm. has been mentioned here by Judge Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. They didn't give a rip about that.
Well, Senator Cory Booker, who's actually on this Judiciary Committee, admitted to groping a girl in high school. He wrote about it in college, bragging about it.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
He's not having to answer for the. Why don't we
bring her up?
Yeah. Why don't we censor him?
Yeah, he wants to run for president.
Yeah.
Right. And then Keith Ellison, who's the Democratic Attorney General nominee for the Democrats.
Former Democrat congressman.
Yeah, in Minnesota. He has multiple police reports and doctor's reports of his ex-girlfriend who says that he physically assaulted her.
Yeah, they said, are they Democrats on
that? Why don't
that?
We have hearings about that?
There is an investigation. A report is supposed to come out on that. I wouldn't hold your breath. That Keith Ellison is going to be held accountable.
Yeah, this is all about abortion. It has been since Robert Bork.
You're right.
Isn't it, Ray?
Right. Well, it absolutely is. They're afraid that Kavanaugh is going to be the swing vote to overturn Roe v. Wade. Well, you know, if they don't get Kavanaugh in, do you think Trump is going to put somebody less conservative up? No, he's going to put somebody more conservative up. We all know what's going to happen, so...
Well, I tell you what, though.
Be careful what you wish for, Democrats.
Right. Well, that's true, but I tell you what's going to likely happen. We talked about this earlier, is you're going to cut down your list of potential candidates because there's another Mrs. Kavanaugh out there, and her husband's being considered for a Supreme Court nominee to replace Kavanaugh should he not make it. And she's going, I'm going to put my kids through this.
Right.
Huh? See what happened to Brett.
Mm-hmm. Fine, Tim. Let's find a woman.
Yeah,
there you have it.
Well, yeah,
let's
but,
find a good woman okay. who can go to.
But I'm just yeah. Okay. Well, all right. We go take a break. Jan Markell will be coming up. President on in other news. President was speaking about our relationship with Israel, and a lot of our listeners are interested in that. What he had to say there, and we will talk to Jan Markell about that, and Alex McFarland will be along a little bit later. You are listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio with Tim, Ray, Walker, and Fred. We'll be back momentarily.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's What's the question, Ed? How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Hurricane Harvey was the second worst disaster ever seen on American soil. 8 Days of Hope responded to that need in Houston, Texas, back in March, where 4,700 volunteers came from all over the world and all 50 states to love and serve people in need. When we left, we realized that there was still much more to do. So many people still were hurting, hundreds of thousands of families looking for somebody, anybody to help them. Here's your chance. 8 Days of Hope 16 will be back in Southeast Houston October 13th through October 20th. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. We're looking for skilled professionals, people who are semi-skilled, and people with no skills or less skilled and want to give back. For more information, you go to our website, 8daysofhope.com. We're expecting about 2,500 volunteers from all over America to go back to Houston to love and serve those in need. Hope to see you in Houston, 8daysofhope.com. For more information, 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. There's been quite a bit of buzz in the mainstream media over the sexual orientation of Bert and Ernie. I'm not quite sure why, but it's what they're talking about on Main Street and Sesame Street. Mark Saltzman joined Sesame Street as a writer in 1984. He told the LGBT website Queerty that Bert and Ernie are a gay couple. He said the characters are a reflection of his own same-sex partnership. Sesame Street quickly shot down that narrative. They said emphatically that Ernie and Bert are not gay lovers. They also reminded the nation they're puppets, and puppets do not have a sexual orientation. Bert and Ernie first appeared on Sesame Street in 1969, teaching preschoolers about what it meant to be good friends. So, for the record, Bert and Ernie are not gay. They're just friends. And America needs to get off the internet and get a hobby. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. Thanks for listening. You can watch the show on YouTube or Facebook. Just type in Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. And we've been paying attention to the testimony of Dr. What's your first name?
Christine
Ford. This morning, she says that 36 years ago, when Brett Kavanaugh was 17, he and a friend of his sexually
assaulted
her. Didn't rape her, but the attorney for this, Dr. Ford, says, or maybe she did, that if Brett Kavanaugh had not been drunk, she says, then he would have raped her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big leap, but there's nobody to back her up, her story that we know of. There's no corroborating evidence. There's no police report. People who she says were at the party says, I don't remember anything like that, or there wasn't a party, or I wasn't at the party. So no eyewitnesses. So she is appearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. Now, as Walker said earlier, just to review, and we can touch on this later, but there are two men. This is kind of, there are two men. Is this true, Walker?
Yes.
Two men have come forward and testified saying what?
Two men have written sworn statements to the Senate Judiciary Committee saying that they were actually the two men who assaulted or were involved in the assault the alleged assault of Dr. Ford in 1982.
So it could be that Dr. Ford has a
mistaken
identity.
Right.
And so I think now we owe it to these men to be heard. They need to come forward and have their chance to tell their story.
Yeah.
We don't know their names yet, right? It's
sworn testimony, though.
Right.
But it's anonymous, right?
It is anonymous to the public.
They're willing to come forward, though.
Yeah, they've already come forward to the Judiciary Committee. Matter.
What kind of man says, I'll sacrifice my life just to cover for Brett Kavanaugh?
Hmm.
Maybe if you're feeling guilt.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
And you want
right?
to cleanse
your
conscience.
What about the chances that...
It's unbelievable that they would do it for, quote, political reasons to save Brett. It's hard to understand guys that would do that anyway. I mean, that's right. It's very unusual. But maybe it'd been on their conscience all this time, and who knows?
Yeah.
This is just a strange turn in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. If it's... we'll see. What happens here? They're taking a break there in Washington at the Senate Judiciary.
If I can make a prediction, just on what I'm seeing going on here, they've been in session for just over an hour, and they've already taken a break, and the break is I don't know how long the chairman gave Dr. Ford to take a break, but I predict if the Democrats keep playing the games that they've been playing, they're going to drag this thing out with 30-minute breaks every hour. They're going to drag this thing out all day to where Judge Kavanaugh has to testify tomorrow or Monday of next week.
Mm-hmm. Really? You think so?
I think so because you don't go for an hour and then ask for a break. That's very unusual for someone giving testimony. Usually, Brett Kavanaugh went for like 3 or 4 hours before he got his first break.
You know, I have it. We got to go to our guest, I know, but I haven't watched all this. And Walker, you watch more than I have. And I guess this may sound flippant about something extremely serious, and I don't mean it to be, but how long can you describe something that probably happened in a few minutes beyond... They tried to do this to me, and they were drunk, and I was there, and it happened.
Right.
How long does that...
Well, what you have here is you have... In reality, it should not take that long. Maybe an hour max each. If it were me, I would just... I don't think we should be having this hearing. But if we were, it should just be the chairman of the committee and the ranking member, Dianne Feinstein, one from each party. And they both get 30 minutes to talk to Dr. Ford under oath. But instead, we're doing this large, grand thing.
It's a show.
Sure. And each senator gets 5 minutes, and you go back and forth. And
so they make their political points, right, Ray?
Well, yeah, and they've got this. The Republicans have this investigator, this woman, Mitchell, who is from Arizona, who's obviously very good. She's asking pertinent questions and poking holes and finding discrepancies. But... Mm-hmm. But she only gets 5 minutes, so it would be much more fair if they gave the Democrats 15 or 20 minutes solid, and then gave her, representing Republicans, time to develop her points, because she barely gets a question out.
Right.
And suddenly we got to go back to hear the Democrats making their speeches.
Good strategy on the part of the Democrats. You just interrupt any kind of flow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Next, you want to introduce our guest, Fred?
Yes, Jan Markell from the wonderful state of Minnesota is our next guest. Of course, she is...
Olive Tree Ministries
and has a program right here on American Family Radio called Understanding the Times, twice on the weekend. Jan, welcome.
Well, thank you, Fred. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple days.
That's right. You have that big conference that's coming up this weekend. Tell us a little bit about the speakers you've invited in.
Well, Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Eric Barger. We're going all day Saturday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time to 5. It's live streamed at no cost, olivetreeviews.org. And if you've got any listeners in the upper Midwest area, and I know you air in some places in my neighborhood, there are still tickets available because folks are turning them in who can't go. So just go to olivetreeviews.org and you'll see all the info there. But I really want to push the live stream. There's no cost. We're going to be streaming it all day, 8:30 to 5 Central Time.
All right, Jan. And a big focus on Bible prophecy. And, of course, Israel is a big part of that. And now, speaking of Israel.
General current events. I mean, and I'm going to make some comments as well. And I was interested in what you gentlemen were talking about here. Of course, that's the kind of the big story, like last week or two. But I just see us descending into a Romans 1 culture here with this kind of depraved mindset where all we think about, not us personally, not those of us in this conversation necessarily, but the secular world is just focused on depravity at all times, which honestly, that's a fulfillment of the Bible as well. The last days would be a time when good would be called evil and evil would be called good, and the Romans 1 mentality where a character just tanks. And I'm not suggesting Judge Kavanaugh's character has tanked, but those that are opposing him are just thinking evil continually, and it's just really troubling.
It is troubling time. Now, President Trump yesterday, in the midst of a New York press conference in which he was talking about the Kavanaugh issue, was also asked a question about where his current thinking is on Israel. He had this response.
Mm-hmm. I think the two-state will happen. I think it's in one way more difficult because it's a real estate deal, because you need meets and bounds and you need lots of carve-outs and lots of everything. It's actually a little tougher deal. But another way it works better because you have people governing themselves. Now, the bottom line, if the Israelis and the Palestinians want one state, that's okay with me. If they want two states, that's okay with me. I'm happy if they're happy.
Yeah, well, Jan, yeah. I think the only thing that will make the Palestinians happy is if they have control of more and more land.
You're so right. The only thing that would make them happy is found in Psalm 83, come let us wipe out the very memory of their existence. I honestly, when it comes to Israel, I'm going to make just a reckless statement. I trust Donald Trump to do the right thing. And what he's saying is not necessarily what he means here, because I think he knows the Palestinians will not go along, will not cooperate in any kind of a deal, period, and therefore they're going to walk away from the table. I really think that he and Benjamin Netanyahu are close enough as friends, colleagues, and world leaders that the right thing is going to be done here. And I'll stop there because I'm not a prophet. I run a nonprofit organization, but I don't make prophecies. So I'll stop there.
Ray, go ahead.
Jan, is there any way in your mind that the two-state solution could work? In fact, well, let me back up. Would you explain to our listeners, when President Trump talks about the two-state solution, what exactly is he talking about? And then, is there any way that you think realistically that could work?
Yeah, and that's for listeners who aren't clear on that, that's really an important question. And, of course, a two-state solution would then be offering the Palestinian population their own state with their own borders and possibly East Jerusalem as their capital. And I think the biggest reason why it will never work is this is not God's idea. It's God's land, and he declares it his land throughout the Bible, Leviticus 25 and other places. He says, this is my land, my land, my land. He doesn't want it divided, and I don't think he's going to allow it to be divided. And if it were to be divided, it would end in such utter and abysmal failure because God's not in this. And that's the bottom line. That's all that matters is what he says in the Bible, not what we would like to see or what the left, political left, would like to see a Palestinian state. It's what's on God's mind.
Jan, how can we watch the conference over the computer this weekend, and what time does it start and all that good stuff?
Yeah, 8:30 Central Time, olivetreeviews.org. And I'm just going to make one appeal, gentlemen, and it's something you folks can understand, is that we're tapping into YouTube technology, and I'm just praying that they choose not to shut us down, because we will have some controversial messages going forth on Saturday. And they don't like, and you're on it right now, I believe, as we speak, you're on YouTube. So let's just pray that this technology continues to work for us and not against us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. Take care.
Thank you. We wish you
the best with the conference.
Thank you so much. Bye now.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell. Understanding of the Times is her radio show. It's heard at 1 o'clock on Central on Saturday and
12 o'clock
p.m. and then noon Sundays. Central Time on American Family Radio. The hearings in Washington, D.C. with Judge Brett Kavanaugh and Professor Ford, they're on a break.
There's another accuser that came forward in the next last 24 hours, and I want to deal with this because I have the exact letters and testimonies. This was a letter sent to Democrat Cory Gardner. I'll read you the letter from the accuser. It's very short.
Who is he?
Cory
Gardner, Colorado?
Colorado, okay. Democrat. Dear Cory Gardner, I will remain anonymous, but I feel obligated to inform you of this 1998 incident involving Brett Kavanaugh. When he was the author of the Star Report, my daughter from Boulder, Colorado, occasionally socialized with Brett Kavanaugh. She and a group of four, including Kavanaugh, met in a Washington, D.C. bar. Her friend... Now, this is the woman. She has a daughter. She says the daughter's friend was dating Brett Kavanaugh. When they left the bar under the influence of alcohol, they were all shocked when Brett Kavanaugh shoved her friend up against the wall very aggressively and sexually. There was at least four witnesses, including my daughter. Her friend, still traumatized, called my daughter yesterday, wondering what to do about it. They decided to remain anonymous. All right? So... the Senate Judiciary Committee contacted this lady who was dating, allegedly, Brett Kavanaugh, all right? They contacted her. She responds. This letter is written yesterday, all right? This is very fresh. She responded to the Judiciary Committee, this gal who was dating Brett Kavanaugh back in 1998. I write in response to a phone call I received this evening from Mike Davis, Chief Nominations Counsel for the committee. In our phone call, Mr. Davis read to me an anonymous letter sent to Colorado Senator Cory Gardner dated September 22, 2018. Mr. Davis asked me whether I dated Brett Kavanaugh in 1998 and whether he ever shoved me against a wall. Mr. Davis also emailed me the attached letter and asked me to provide an immediate and written response to the committee. As I inform Mr. Davis, please listen to this, folks, I dated Brett Kavanaugh in 1998. To the extent the attached letter is referring to me as the friend who was dating him, the allegations it makes are both offensive and absurd. At no time did Brett ever shove me against a wall, including in an aggressive and sexual manner. When we dated, Brett always treated me with the utmost respect, and we remain friends to this day. I have never observed, nor am I aware of, Brett acting in a physically inappropriate or aggressive manner toward anyone. So there's an accuser. She gives what sounds are details of something that happened at a point in time in 1998, declaring there are witnesses. And here's the gal who apparently, according to the letter, was the victim. And she says, it's simply not true. We are in a day and age
see,
where
what,
people
what the,
are lying
what the,
left
what,
and right.
What the Democrats do and the liberal media do with something like that, this is what they did with Roy Moore. They'll say, yet another.
Right.
They'll say, this is five accusations against you. They won't tell it like you just tell it, which is, proves it to be bogus. They'll just say, it's yet another. And then finally you go, well, somebody who's not playing, Ray, not paying close attention to this whole thing goes, but I, you know, I got five people accusing him of something.
Right.
Something went on.
Right.
You see how this works? It's cumulative, and it's,
right. In the last few days, it's just been piling on. And the one, Fred, you just mentioned it's not credible. But, it's completely unbelievable. But as you said, the problem is people just hear, okay, here's the third, here's the fourth, here's the fifth. And now we've got Dr. Ford. And let's face it, there's not any corroborating evidence at all for what she's saying. No. But she's very compelling as a witness. And that's part of the issue for Brett Kavanaugh.
Here's how it moves, too. And this is probably what will happen with Judge Kavanaugh if it hasn't already happened. This is what happened with Judge Roy Moore. It got to the point where they were referring to Judge Moore as a pedophile.
Yeah.
That's how they work. Okay. No, he wasn't a pedophile. He was a man who dated teenage girls when he was 30 or 31, which was, by the way, back in the 70s, not uncommon. But I'm just saying, with permission of their parents. But you see how they do here? But there's a big difference between what I just described, who people might say, well, I don't think a 30, 31-year-old guy should be dating a 17-year-old girl. Okay, well, that's fine if that's what you believe, and I understand that. But don't call it a pedophile. A pedophile is a man or a woman who would sexually molest a prepubescent person, a child. But what they did was they started calling him a pedophile or a sexual predator, again, without any evidence. But you keep saying that day and night, night and day. You see what I'm saying? And this is what they'll probably do with, I would imagine tonight, Brett Kavanaugh will be referred to as a sexual predator.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And then you got people like Jeff Flake and you've got, you know, Joe Manchin who are going to, when that happens, they're just going to say, look, I don't know what really happened here, but under the circumstances, I can't vote for him.
Right, so, right. There's too much doubt in my mind.
Yeah, you know, this is evidence of a wider problem because the Democrats feel comfortable and confident using these sleazy tactics. And they obviously aren't fearful of any kind of repercussions from their voters, their voters back in their districts because – in their states, because they just feel free to do this.
No, their voters don't care. Their voters don't care because their voters agree. Do whatever's necessary to stop Trump and to stop Kavanaugh. And if it means lying, cheating, and stealing,
right,
you go for it.
But that's
not everybody. I shouldn't say that. I'm just saying that's the base of the Democrat Party in this country. Those are the people who show up to confront Ted Cruz at a restaurant. Right. These people, they're not going to show up at Bill Cosby's. Sentencing to confront.
No. You know, and it used to be, and Fred can speak to this, it used to be where in order to report a story, a news story, you need two things, one of two things. You either need multiple witnesses or you need factual paper evidence to show something occurred via emails, pictures, something, or a confession. But with these stories, these media outlets run with stuff based on one source, and there's not even an ounce of any kind of corroboration, but you still run with it as fact.
Let me another thing here. What does the Bible race say about something? I know Brian Fisher, our own Brian Fisher, about a week or so ago, we sent this column out that he wrote, and he talked about the Bible saying you needed multiple. Two witnesses or multiple witnesses when you're talking about something.
Two to three.
An accusation. What is
right, it's very clear. It's very clear. In the New Testament, you can't receive an accusation against an elder unless there are two or three witnesses. Go back to the Old Testament. If you accuse somebody of adultery, if you accuse somebody of a sexual crime, there's got to be not just one, but at least two eyewitnesses. That's the and the penalty for that was, if somebody was guilty of a sexual crime in the Old Testament, they could be stoned to death. And so the protection was that there must be at least two people. They had to be eyewitnesses. It couldn't be as if they said, well, you know, I saw Joe and Mary and they went into the hotel and they came out 35 minutes later. That wouldn't be accepted. You had to literally actually see the act happen. Well, that cut down a lot of, you know, bogus accusations. But the other thing was in Deuteronomy 19, the provision is made that if you gave testimony falsely in a capital crime, i.e. a crime that could be punishable by death, if you were found to be testifying falsely, the penalty that was going to be meted out to the person you falsely accused, it would be meted out to you, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. In other words, if you dared to give false testimony and somebody's going to be put to death as a result, guess what? That's going to happen to you. That was a great protection in the Old Testament.
Right, and if I'm not mistaken, the specifically the verses, the scripture in Deuteronomy and then in Matthew that reemphasize the fact that you need 2 to 3 witnesses, that's just for a charge to be heard.
That's exactly right.
That's not to sentence someone or to command they're guilty. That's just for it to be plausible or heard from.
Let me ask you this question, though, relative to that. In this day and age of DNA, sometimes when a person rapes another person, there's nobody there to watch that.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, other things could be used, is what I'm saying, that would serve the same purpose as a second witness.
Modern forensics.
Modern forensics.
Right. Am I right about that, Ray?
Right. Fingerprints, DNA evidence.
Right.
Things that weren't available back in the days of the
alibis or lack of alibis.
Mm-hmm. Things right. of that nature. Corroborating witnesses.
And you don't have any of that in the Kavanaugh case. You don't have any DNA because there were never.
Why doesn't she go file a police report today when she leaves this with the Montgomery case? It's 20 minutes away, probably, from where she is now. Why doesn't Professor Ford go file a police report? Because there's no statute of limitations, so that this will go on the record. Do you think she'll do that, Fred? Or
because the police department would say there's no evidence. There's nothing to investigate here.
But the Democrats are calling for an FBI investigation.
Yeah, I know. They're calling, because that's a nice thing to say for the cameras.
But Tim, as you've pointed out, this isn't about criminal justice. This is about keeping Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court.
I wish the Democrats would just say that, though. I guess I would have.
Well, they tried, but it didn't work.
Well, now the senator from Hawaii and the senator from what was the other one I heard this morning from New York? They're both lady senators. They said basically that he's disqualified because, and I believe her, talking about Professor Ford, because he has the wrong view on abortion.
Yes.
And other things. Mm-hmm. But that's the main thing here. So anyway, we'll see what happens. As Ray said, we want to wait till, well, I don't have to wait, but we'll wait until
Judge Kavanaugh
has his chance to testify. If you're Judge Kavanaugh, he called it yesterday. He said that we've entered the twilight zone. That's what he called it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The twilight zone here. And so we'll see what happens here. Walker, we wanted to mention that your brother, Wesley Wildman, our own Brian Fisher and Evan Tagliano will be in the Columbus, Ohio area.
That's right.
When?
Yeah, Tuesday, October 2nd, which is this upcoming Tuesday, October 2nd, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Both my brother Wesley Wildman, Evan Tagliano, and Brian Fisher will host a In God We Trust town hall meeting in the Columbus, Ohio area at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dublin, Ohio. Okay. But you can't just show up. You need to register. So here's how
you
register.
It's free, but you need to register.
Here's how you register. afa.net/Dublin. afa.net/Dublin. D-U-B-L-I-N. Sign up there. Register. It's free. October 2nd, beginning at 6:30 p.m. in Columbus, Ohio.
So take advantage of that. We love getting out and about across the country, meeting our supporters and our listeners. Fred, thanks for your contributions this hour.
Yes, sir. The news will continue.
And Steve Jordahl will be with us after the break. And those returning include Ray, Tim, and Walker. We'll see you back here in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.